We celebrate today this beautiful Feast of the Transfiguration. The question people would always ask is, why wasn't Jesus like that all the time? After all, he is God. And so the miracle, in the sense, is that he wasn't glowing all the time, but he allowed that to happen this one time. We can also perhaps see this from another perspective. When we look in the first reading, and we remember this is where we get the term, or where Jesus actually gets the term, Son of Man. So there was one like a Son of Man that was presented. In other words, when he was presented before God, his humanity was not glorified. It was in that being presented to God that he received glory and dominion and so on. At that point, his humanity became glorified. So on one hand, because he is God and his humanity is hypostatically united to the divinity, which means that it cannot be separated, his humanity had not yet been glorified. The reason why I say that, obviously on the fact that he's united to the divinity, his humanity is united to his, it's already glorified in that way. But just as we can say that, yes, from the very beginning, Jesus came into this world to be the Messiah. He is the Christ. And yet, the work of the Christ did not take place until the cross. And so it is only in the Paschal mystery, the passion, the death, and the resurrection, that we can actually say he is the Christ. He has now done the work of the Christ. So he was all along, and we see that several points during his life. Peter acknowledged that. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha acknowledged that. You are the Christ, the one who is to come into the world. So they recognize that, and it's true, he was the Christ. He was the Christ from the moment of his conception. That's the reason he came. And yet, he didn't actually do the work of Christ until the Passion. We can say something similar, perhaps, about this glorification. He always had glory because he is God. And yet, it wasn't until after the resurrection and the ascension that he was glorified. He hadn't yet done the work to be glorified. So on one hand, he's automatically glorified because he is God, his humanity is united to his divinity, but his humanity, in his humanity, he had not yet done the work of the Christ. It was not yet glorified. So while God is infinite and eternal and outside of time, his humanity was not. His humanity had a beginning, just like ours. His humanity had to be glorified, just like ours. And so his glorification then, we see, for instance, in the book of Revelation, when St. John sees Jesus in his glorified state, he falls flat on his face, as if dead. This was our Lord's closest friend. This was his beloved disciple. And when he saw our Lord in glory, he fell flat on his face. So we see that there is this change that happens in the glorification of our Lord when his humanity is presented in heaven. And so that's, you know, so that this occasion where he is speaking now to Elijah and to Moses, we recognize there is something entirely different about, for instance, the fact that Moses was glowing. We heard about that the other day in the readings. Moses was glowing because of his ability to converse face to face with the Lord. That's not what we're talking about with the Transfiguration. Jesus wasn't just glowing a little bit because he was speaking with these heavenly beings. He was radiant. It was a prefiguration of the glorification of his humanity that would take place when he entered into heaven. It was already there, obviously, in his divinity, because he is God from all eternity. But in his humanity, there is a temporal aspect to that. Now, we look at ourselves, and St. Paul tells us that we are being transformed from one degree of glory to the next as we look upon the face of God with our faces unveiled. And that's what we're striving for, and yet at the same time, obviously, we're not glorified. And even if you got so close to God and grew in holiness to the point that you started to glow, you're still not glorified. We read somebody like St. John of the Cross, who had achieved perfection, and he talks about how there is still this thin veil that needs to be torn through in order to get to the other side, in order to enter into that glory. That's the prefiguration of what we're seeing. So God can show us these sorts of things. Obviously, he can do things that are miraculous if he chooses to do so, and he does that to be able to help us, in order to give us hope, in order to give us encouragement, in order to help us in whatever way we need to be helped with our faith, and then bring us back to where we are. Perhaps that's what we're seeing here. In the humanity of Christ, we see that glory of his divinity shining through, even though he had not yet been glorified in his humanity, but a prefiguration, and one that is necessary for us, because when we hear about the promises of our blessed Lord, we see a little bit in this particular incident as to what it's going to be like. The glory of God is going to shine through us. It is there in our humanity, but you and I are sons and daughters of God. Jesus is the Son of God, obviously, in a totally different way, but we share in his divinity, we share in his divine life, and we are called to share in his glory. So the glory of God is going to shine through our humanity one day, provided we get to heaven. We see that prefiguration. St. Peter, in the second reading, talks about how they experienced this. They saw it. They can tell us about it. And yet, at the same time, he says, but we possess the prophetic message as altogether reliable. In other words, you don't rely on experiences. Those come and go. We have the Word of God. Now, of course, when St. Peter is talking about this, he wasn't thinking to himself, well, what I'm writing is going to one day be declared divinely inspired so people can believe it. He's just telling about what happened to him. We recognize it is divinely inspired, and we can accept that, and we can maintain it, just as he's talking about the prophetic message. So it is for us be able to keep our focus. That's exactly what he says. You'll do well to be attentive to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns, the morning star rises in your hearts. Keep your focus on the glorified humanity of Jesus. We must always keep our focus on the humanity of our Lord. Yes, he is God. Obviously, we pray to him as God. We can focus on his divinity, but we must never forget his humanity, and always keep that before us. Because as we go through this veil of tears, it is our humanity that is slowly, little by little, being transformed, so that one day, when we share physically and what we have already done in our baptism, we entered into death, we entered into the resurrection. That is what we are moving toward, being transformed, waiting for that ultimate transformation, where, like what happened in the transfiguration of our blessed Lord, is going to happen in you and me, in the resurrection from the dead, in the glorification that will be ours in heaven, provided we get there. This is what it's going to be, the glory of God shining through our humanity, because you and I are sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father.